Walk with me, Lord, walk with me. Walk with me, Lord, walk with me. While I'm on this Jesus journey, I want Jesus to walk with me.
Amen.
Guide my feet, Lord, guide my feet. Guide my feet. While I'm on this Jesus journey, I want Jesus to guide my feet. Hold my hand, Lord, hold my hand. Hold my hand. While I'm on this Jesus journey, I want Jesus to hold my hand. Walk with me, Lord, walk with me. Walk with me, Lord, walk with me. While I'm on this Jesus journey, I want Jesus to walk with me. Walk with my mother, walk with me. You walk with my mother, walk with me. While I'm on this Jesus journey, I want Jesus to walk with me. Y'all want to walk with y'all, church?
Amen.
Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. While I'm on this Jesus journey, walk with me.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, this is my mother, Augustine Templeton. Before we say, I've got something I'd like to share with you. You know, as parents, children, you all have your scuffles, differences with your family. We had an issue. She wound up in Odessa in assisted living. She was there for almost 4 years. I didn't get to see mom. And I told Mr. Gator, if something happened, she couldn't take care of herself, wanted her back down here.
Yeah.
And the Lord brought her back.
Amen.
And also,
amen.
And I didn't know what to expect when I saw her. How frail. And if she didn't know me, but she did. Thomas Oscar, she's back to Jason Bart Bader, that the Lord brought her through.
Yep.
I pray to the Lord to please forgive me for what I've done.
Yeah.
He forgave me, and I mentioned my mom. And I got on my knees, and I've asked her, I said, Mother, please forgive me for not being the daughter you needed me. And she forgave me.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the most important thing in my life. God is number one, but she forgave me.
Yep.
And I'll never forget that as long as I live. It's in the past, and I have her there now.
Yep.
And I just wanted to share that with y'all. And we're going to sing Amazing Grace. So y'all just pray for us.
Good, Ernestine. So,
it's also good having Mr. Jack's sister with us today. She goes to a little bit larger church than we have here. How many go to your church, man?
About 2,500 to 3,000. So I didn't want our crowd to shock her this morning, amen. So I told her not to kind of take it all in a little at a time, amen. So, but it's good having her in town, amen. Amen.
And I love Sister Brooks' song, amen. That was great, brother. Oh, thanks, brother. Appreciate that. I just make fun of you. Keep welding in line, Lord. Keep welding in line.
That's right.
I was waiting on that verse, but that came. I thought it was right after mom. I thought right after mom was going to weld. Sister Vicki had asked me about the visors next week. The triathlon, the Ironman, whatever it is coming through here. And she asked if we could put something on the signs. And one we'll do for her, Larry, is no joke, I'm going to put the sign stuff out here. And if you guys want to put something on the sign, then you can. And then put the homecoming back up, you know, right after church Sunday or whatever. So I'll leave the stuff out here if you guys want to get the sign, put something. But I've just got a couple ideas I think about in the pew there. I said, how high is your heart rate right now? Where would you go if it stopped?
Pretty good. I like that.
Yeah. Now, I thought of Sister Vicki on this one, you know. I thought, if you got hit by a car today, would you be in heaven or hell?
So I'll leave these up here. Y'all can go away from it.
All right.
If there's any complaints behind the town, get it to Larry.
Amen.
Amen. All right, if you would be turning your Bibles to
2 Corinthians 3:3. 2 Corinthians 3:3. 2 Corinthians 3:3, we're going to preach on being a letter for the Lord today. A letter for the Lord. Each one of us is a letter. If you would please stand in honor of God's word, if you're able. A letter for the Lord. My old brother, we got nothing. Huh? What about that?
You bring
me a battery. All right. We're out of juice. Missions Conference drained it dry. Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate that, buddy. Sorry, guys. Was that a new banner you just gave me for a moment?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't break. Show what it's on, brother.
It's picking up the signal, but it's not coming out.
Okay. I'll use the pulpit mic, okay?
We'll just have to stand still today. Chain me down, all right? Chain me down. I'm going to stick my foot under the pulpit so I know not to move. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians 3:3. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this day. I thank you for the great missions conference. I thank you for the money that was given, Father. I thank you for everyone that's here today. I thank you for these precious singers and Miss Vicky's mom and Mr. Jack's sister and the others that we have in attendance this morning. I just thank you, Father, for these. I pray, God, that you help me to say nothing in the flesh, but everything in the Spirit. Bind the hands of demonic forces this morning. And I pray, God, you help our church move forward. I pray for our homecoming coming up. You might help us to have a great day in you, Father, and be with Brother Groves. Help his health so that he's able to preach for us. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning very quickly on being an epistle or a letter for the Lord. This word epistle means letter. And the Bible is talking about a physical, living letter. And that is what everyone in this building is this morning. If you're born again, you're a physical, living letter for the Lord. Amen. Whether you like it or not, if you name the name of Christ, you're an open book for the world to see it.
Amen. But unfortunately, Brother Larry, when people read our open book in today's society of most pertaining to Christians, they see something different. They see a novel that's written much like the world, preacher. Much like the world, Brother Weldon. And we don't need that, amen. We need to be different. I know it's hard in these times. I know that we have sin all around us, and it's just filtrating and infiltrating our minds and our eyes and our being. But we still need to live holy and separated lives.
That's right.
Notice two quick things about this verse. First of all, the writing of the Lord is written with the Holy Spirit of God.
Yep. We find in Romans 8:5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. God writes with the Holy Spirit of God. So what are you using as your ink? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to ink what He wants you to do on your heart? Or are you allowing this world to ink what the world wants you to do on your heart? Amen? I think about the heart. The heart is the writing table. The heart's the writing table. I mean, in Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Psalm 141:4 says, incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let not me eat of their dainties. Listen, folks, what the heart follows is determined by what you put into it. Amen? What the heart follows, if you allow the Holy Spirit to write on your heart, your heart's going to be good. If you allow the world to write on your heart, your heart's going to be evil. Amen? Now let's look at a few quick things this morning about this letter. First of all, a letter is written on prepared material. Right? The material's prepared. You just don't write a letter into the air. Somebody has to put some paper together or something that you can write on. Amen? It's prepared ahead of time. See, we see in Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Listen, God does not want to write on a filthy rag. He don't want to write on the filthy rags. Think about that. If you were writing a novel or you were writing a book, you wouldn't take a filthy, dirty, oily, bloody, whatever is on it, rag and start writing on it. You'd take a nice, clean, white sheet of paper, right? Even if you're typing, a nice, clean, white sheet of paper or a multicolored paper, something that's nice that catches the eye. You don't write on something that's stingy and dirty, amen? Galatians 6:15 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature.
That's right.
Listen, God has to form you. Thank you, buddy. God has to form you and make you into writing material. You have to be born again. Listen, folks, so many people try to allow God to write on their heart, but they're not saved.
Right.
Listen, if you're not saved, you're spinning your wheels. You're wasting your time because God cannot use a vessel that has not been born again. Amen? But listen, the second thing is after you're saved, you have to prepare the foundation. Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Go on unto perfection. I mean, I want to ask you this. Have you ever tried writing on a piece of paper and opening up your pen and writing and you have no background for it? I mean, you mess up and you poke holes in it. Listen, that's the way it is with the Lord. If you have no foundation, if you've not set a foundation by coming to Sunday school, by reading your Bible, by coming to Wednesday night Bible study, by doing things on your own to grow in the Lord, God can't write effectively on your life. He can't. There's no foundation there. Amen. Listen, you have to give the Lord a good foundation to write on. Study to show thyself approved unto God. That's why learning the Word of God is so important. Why? Because you're building that one piece of paper there, that foundation for people to write to.
That's right.
The Lord to write to. And when I say people, I'm talking about Sunday school teachers. God uses them through the Lord to write to your heart. He uses the preacher to write to your heart through the Word of God. Amen. Now, secondly, listen, the letter bears the expression of the writer. Romans 8:10 says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not that your own selves have that Christ Jesus is in you. The key word in this verse is examine. It's examine, amen. You examine a letter and you can tell by the way it's written, you can tell by the flow, you can tell by the way it's written whether the person is right or not, right? Listen, you can tell the age of the person by the letter written. You look at the letter and you can tell by misspelled words, or you can tell by grammar. You can tell what kind of foundation they have educationally, right? You can see whether it's a little child writing you that. And listen, folks, God wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to keep writing as little children. He wants us to be mature books for the world to read. Amen? 1 Corinthians 3:3 says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? See, listen, folks, there's many Christians that when people see their Christian life, they open it up and they say, see Jane run. See Spot sit.
Right.
Amen? It's back in kindergarten. Why? Because they have not matured and they have not allowed the Lord to write on their heart to where they can be an open book to people and show them Jesus Christ for who He is. Amen? Right. Now, listen, thirdly, a letter bears a signature. I mean, when you write a letter, you sign it, right? You sign the letter. A letter bears a signature. Acts 9:15 says, but the Lord said to him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want to ask you a question. When somebody looks at the letter of your life, is God embarrassed to sign it? Is God embarrassed to get to the end of the letter and you want to see Jesus' name, but does he like cringe when he says, I hate to sign my name to this?
Yeah.
Listen, folks, each one of us is a book that God should be proud to sign and say, this represents me. Amen? A letter for the Lord. Now listen, fourthly, a letter should be legible to others. I mean, it would do no good to write a letter if nobody could understand what it says. Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. See, the key here is being clearly seen. Can people clearly see Jesus on your open book in your life? Can they see Him? 1 Corinthians 14:8 says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongues, word easily to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air.
Good.
I mean, do you speak into the air, and your words are like a vapor, and they disappear and mean nothing? Amen? They mean nothing? Ephesians 3:3 says, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery. Are the things of God revealed through your book? Or do people get more confused about the things of God and more confused about Jesus by looking at your life? Listen, people should be able to look at your life, look at your open book, and not be confused, but they should have revelation. Amen? Now listen, fifthly, a letter is known by its handwriting. Whose writing does your letter resemble? I mean, Acts 2:28 says, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Now listen, I want to give you some examples of some people I've seen in my life. I've seen people that cuss and take the Lord's name in vain. I've seen people that watch bad movies and brag about the movies they've watched. I've seen people that listen to bad music. They pull up and they've got all this bad music playing. I've seen people that's not faithful to church. I've seen people that tell off-color jokes and they drink alcohol and they party. And then after seeing all these things, they say this to me, Brother Danny, well, I'm a Christian. Huh? I'm a Christian. Listen, folks, the people read your book, and when they get to the bottom of your book, they're surprised to see Jesus' name signed to it. Yeah. I didn't expect Jesus' name. Listen, folks, the letter of your life should have Jesus as the preeminence.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
We should have the preeminence. Your countenance should show clearly who has signed your letter. Your countenance should. Ephesians 4:22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, there's Christians that have never put off the old man.
Right.
They've never put off the old man.
Yes.
And people get to the bottom of their letter, they see their life, and then they say, you go to church where?
Yeah.
Valley View. And you cut, and you watch those things, and you tell those jokes, and they go, you mean Jesus is the signer of your life? He's the person at the bottom of your letter? I mean, you're a Sunday school teacher? You're a deacon? Nothing personal, Brother David. Amen. I'm not picking on you, brother. You're a deacon? You're a trustee? You're the pastor? Amen. I mean, you're a member? And they go, Jesus Christ is in your life? Folks, people shouldn't wonder that. People should know exactly who wrote your life. Now I'm going to close with this. Listen, a letter should be free of blots and smudges. I mean, what would it be like, preacher, to receive a letter that was just wadded up and crinkled and ran through the mill and you get it out of the dumpster and then you try to read it? Or you've got a letter that's been floating in the sewer for 3 or 4 days and somebody pulls it out and they hand it to you and it's just dripping and you open it up and all the letters and things are run together. I mean, listen, folks, a letter should be free of blots and smudges. The same thing is true in your life.
Right.
You can't lay out in the sewer all week and be an open letter for God.
Amen.
You can't lay out in the sewer of the world and lay out in the dumpsters of the world and then God go, hey, I'm going to use you to show other people you and Jesus Christ through you. Listen, folks, don't embarrass God like that.
Right.
Don't be a sewage, you know, and represent Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, I think the church and people in the church need to be Class A individuals. Amen. Hey, we need to be on time for work. We don't need to cheat people, amen? We need to be honest with people. We need to represent the Lord out in the public correctly, amen?
Right.
People need to know who we are and who we represent, and we need to represent Him correctly, amen? We need to do that. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Isaiah 52:11 says, depart ye, go out from hence, touch no unclean thing. Acts 2:40 says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Brother Larry, you can come get a song ready, brother. Here's the key. Now that save yourselves doesn't mean that you have anything to do with your salvation or going to heaven. That's talking about saving yourself from the world, your fleshly body, your carnalness, amen? But listen, you have to make the choice that you're going to save yourself from the pollution and the filth of this world. You've got to make the choice. Only you can make that.
Right.
Listen, are you going to be a letter that God can be proud of? I mean, that's the question this morning. Are you a letter that God can be proud of? Are you a letter that if your life was flashed up on the front of this church and it represented Valley View Baptist Church, everything you've done for the past week, everything you've done for the past month, would people go by and say, yeah, no, I want to go to that church? Or would they say, that doesn't represent the Lord at all? Only you know that. The pastor doesn't know. The members may not know. But only you know if you're an open book that people can see Jesus Christ through. You say, Brother Jeff, I'm not an open book. I'm not an open letter. I'm not a living letter for the Lord. That can change today. It can change immediately. Maybe you're not an open letter because your life is the beginning. You've never been saved. And you're trying to live a religious life. You're trying to live a Christian life. You think that coming to church makes you a better person. Listen, folks, you can have your name on this roll. You can join as a member. You can be baptized, and you can still split hell wide open.
That's right.
This Baptist church will not save you. This pastor will not save you. It is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way to get to heaven. If that's you this morning, I tell you, you can know. But maybe you're here this morning and say, Brother Jeff, I know I'm saved. I know I've been saved, but I'm not an open letter to the Lord. I'm not a letter that He would be proud to sign His name to. I would not represent my church and my church family and the Lord well at all if other people were allowed to come in here and talk about my life outside this church. Listen, if that's you, that can change this morning as well. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, and everyone standing, if you're able.